This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Good morning. You may recall a couple of weeks ago when I was giving some illustrations about Peter, I recounted the story that ends John's Gospel, where Peter has been given the forgiveness of Jesus for his threefold denial, and we expect Peter and Jesus to just walk off into the sunset. And then Peter ruins it all by turning around and looking at the beloved disciple and saying, "What about him?" That there is this jealousy. There is this desire to just have it the way I want it to be, where let's just keep it like good old times, Jesus, that Peter is dealing with. Well, that beloved disciple that he's jealous of is the one today, John, that begins this gospel. Now the table is turned. Now John is saying, somebody's doing something, Jesus, in your name, and they're not following us. As if to say, that is wrong. We're not going to get the credit for this one. After all, you chose us. We should be the one getting all the fame and acclaim. And Jesus, of course, says, no, that's not what it's about. Someone has wisely said, in terms of an image, that a lot of times we want our life and our faith to be a funnel effect. That I set these boundaries by which the world is going to operate, and if you don't fit into the funnel, you don't make it. Whereas the whole idea, really, that Jesus has is not a funnel, but a fountain. It's like a pressure washer, you know, or a sprinkler, where you shove all that water in there because you want it to go out and spread. It's not about being exclusive, but it's being as inclusive as we can possibly be. And it has a heck of a lot to do with the way in which we are true salt. Salt, when it is too much about itself, ruins everything. You ever experimented in the kitchen and you taste something needs a little salt? Then you start to put the Morton in there. Whoops, too much. Now, what does it taste like? Nothing but salt. Salt of itself does not do what it's supposed to do. Salt is to give flavor to that into which it is placed. And if we are to be that salt, it's not about us ourselves. Nobody's going to sit down for their main course and ask for a plate of salt, unless you're a deer. Now, what does this rest of the gospel have to do with this? Well, I think it has a lot to do with the way it starts here, with this whole idea that it is not about being exclusive, it's being about salt for the earth because we want to give flavor to everybody and everything. There is this thing that tends to go on in the Gospels and throughout our history of Christianity that we say, it's about me and it's about the way I want it to be. It's about, let's have the good old days. You and me, Jesus. Just us 12. Just the way we like it to be. And if it's not that way, you're out. Well, Jesus doesn't work that way. Jesus' whole life is going out and trying in any way he can to find a way that he can include more. We've gone through this on this journey through Mark's gospel where it starts with just the few, then it goes out to the rest of the Jews, then, God forbid, it goes out to the Gentiles. It goes out to everybody. And so he is meeting up with tax collectors, with prostitutes, with adulterers, with, you name it, the Samaritan woman, and he's doing whatever he can to try to make them feel like, I can give you flavor to your life as well, and you can be included as well. Now, we looked at our lay leadership a weekend ago, and we all talked about being like Jesus. To be a disciple means to know what Jesus knows so we can do what Jesus does. Jesus is going out and is trying to find a way to show to every single person that their life can have incredible value just from where they are right now, if only they will open themselves up to experience it in his life within them. That's an incredible gift that Jesus gives to each one of us, to be this salt to give flavor. But unfortunately, even in our day and age, we have these restrictions, these boundaries that we want to place on it, and it limits us so much. We go back to those first disciples, we can go through church history, and it seems like every conflict there is, it's because somebody wants to say, this is the boundary, and I am determining it myself. Do you know, if you look back theologically at how these different denominations from the Roman church, including us, started to split off, you know what the argument was over? What day we're going to celebrate Easter, and how we are going to cut the hair on a monk's head. There were two different ways of doing it. There was a king up in Northumbria, King Oswu, and he had been raised the Irish way. So he was celebrating Easter on one particular day that was earlier than the Roman way. And guess what? His queen was raised in the Roman church, so she wanted to have Easter the Roman way. So can you imagine in this household, the king has finished his Lent and now it's Easter. He wants to eat all the candy. He wants to eat the Easter ham. And his wife is over here and it's still the middle of Lent for her. She don't want anything to do with that. Do you know that that is what ended up bringing this international group together at a thing called the Synod of Whitby, where the bishops and even Saint Hilda was there? And as Bede, the historian, records it, they came together and had this discussion, but it was all about me and the way I like to do things. Almost as silly as we're going to open the presents on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning. And if you don't do it my way, ain't going to work. To be salt. You know, salt, I don't know much about chemistry, but I do know that salt is called sodium chloride. And from my reading, I know that sodium is one of those chemicals that you don't usually find by itself. It attaches itself to other molecules to become something else. Chloride is a poison. Chlorine, same root. Kills things, huh? Isn't that interesting that if you don't get the balance right, you end up starting destroying things instead of giving it flavor? Take salt and put it in some kind of a metal container, and over time it's going to cause that thing to rust. Well, the salt that is in us that is meant to give flavor, if it is not being used, guess what it's going to do? We're going to get rusty. We are going to start destroying ourselves by not becoming what we are called and able to be. We can't go back to just the good old days. I have a high school classmate that I'll get an email or a Facebook writing on my wall. I'm still learning this stuff. I'll get a phone call. And you know what? Every time he calls, he's still back in 1974. It's like the best years of his life were high school. It's 30 plus years later. And I want to say, you've missed so much. Let go of that and let's move on. All of the ways in which God can be active in your life, and the joyful memories and the joyful experiences and the way you can be salt for others, you can't go back there. I think it's real significant that when Jesus raises from the dead and Mary is there and he calls her by name, what's the first thing he says? Don't hang on to me. I'm going ahead of you. And go tell the disciples the same. I think that's what he's telling to us. As that book of Revelation says, behold, I'm doing something new. Don't just stick with what has been, but use the salt within you so that not only you, but everyone around you can be brought to that fullness that he wants to give us more and more and more of. I heard a story of a king, and it's sort of a takeoff on the King Lear story, but he tells his three daughters, tell me how much you love me. And the one daughter says, I love you more than silver. And the king is very happy. And the second daughter comes and she says, I love you more than gold. And the king was very happy. And the third daughter comes and says, I love you more than salt. And the king banishes her from the kingdom. Well, the chef overhears this. And for the next week, he takes salt out of everything he cooks. And the king realizes the value of what his youngest daughter had said. Don't lose the salt. Continue to be the flavor and give the flavor to other people. I ran across a video that recalled to me a story that happened last year, and you might have seen this on the news, but I think it perfectly illustrates this idea of being salt to raise other people up. It tells the story of a college softball player by the name of Sarah. They were playing in the playoffs to make it into the NCAA finals, and Sarah was not a very good player, had never hit a home run in her entire life. But this particular game was different. And what happened during that play enabled not only her, but the entire team, both teams, to show a way in which they could be the salt, the flavor, to help people to make a difference. Let's watch that film clip.
In a small town in the middle of Washington State, on a field inside a chain-linked fence, in a game fewer than 100 people saw. A home run memorable not for the distance it traveled, or the game it decided, but for the meaning it carried. The last Saturday in April, the second game of a softball doubleheader between Central Washington and Western Oregon.
Well, we were both neck and neck fighting for the conference championship.
As a senior, this was Sarah Tukolsky's last chance to win a championship. She'd never hit a home run before, not in college, not in her life.
I'm 5'2", I'm not very tall. I'm more a line drive hitter, I don't hit for power.
But in the top of the second inning, with two runners on the second pitch, that changed.
I hit that pitch and it just went.
And we're just cheering, and the runners are cheering as they round the base to head to home. And then I'm going, where's Sarah?
In her excitement, Tukolsky failed to touch first base, so she quickly turned back.
Her pivoting leg just didn't pivot with her. And I heard her kind of yell, and she just dropped to the ground, and I was like, oh no. Just fell immediately and was in a lot of pain. Just, you know, I tried to keep my leg straight, but I was in so much pain that I couldn't really keep still.
Tukolsky, with a torn ACL, crawled back to first base. She was a long way from reaching home plate and keeping her first and only home run.
When she got back to first base, she laid there and she hugged on to first base. And then at that time, I was staring at the base and I go, what on earth are we going to do?
And I turned the umpire standing right next to me. I said, what is the ruling if I put somebody in for Sarah? He said, it'll be a two-run single.
If anybody would have on her team would have helped Sarah, she would have been called out.
That was the problem. None of Tukolsky's teammates were allowed to touch her. That's when Central Washington's Mallory Holtman, a player with more home runs than any other in conference history, a player for the opposing team, spoke up.
I went to the home plate umpire and asked if we could pick her up and carry her, and he looked at me a little strange.
And the umpire went and said, yes, you can do that. I'm still standing there in shock. I said, thank you so much.
We asked her, so like, is it okay if we pick you up and carry you around the bases?
And I say, yes, and, you know, and say thank you. And she says, you hit the ball over the fence. You deserve it.
For that reason only, because she deserved it, Holtman and Wallace began to carry the injured Tucholsky, stopping to touch her left foot on each base as the three made their way around the diamond.
We actually started laughing because we were just wondering what this would look like to all the people in the stand.
When I looked up, I didn't see, you know, giant like smiles and screams. I saw emotion and tears and people crying.
It's a great moment when someone has character to step up and do the right thing at the right time.
It's emotional. You're proud. Be associated with those kids.
That's the first home run of the season for number 8, Sarah Tucholsky.
The fact is, you know, I made my goal. I hit a home run, and yeah, it's my last at bat of my career, but I, you know, made my goal, so I'm proud of myself.
Mallory Holtman, Liz Wallace, and the Central Washington team lost the game that day, 4-2. Sarah Tucholsky lost the rest of her season and her career to a knee injury. But for the spirit of sportsmanship, a greater victory made on a long trot around the bases, a trip that truly touched them all.
I have a lot of respect for her and put her in high regards, her and her teammates. And, you know, I can't thank her enough.
To be salt for the earth. They helped Sarah because they said she deserved it. The good news is each one of us deserves it. The even better news is we have a God who enables us to be salt and to give it to every single person we meet because they too deserve it. Go home today. Take out your Morton salt. Put a little bit in your hand. Taste it on your lips. See and taste what you are called to be. And ask God to show you the way that you can truly be salt for the earth. Amen.